The second reading today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and can be found on page 1179 of the Church Bibles. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm really nervous, not because I'm about to preach, but because there's a Mexican teddy bear on the stage with me here that could burst into La Bamba at any moment now. So contrary to what Rob said, I haven't been able to disable the device. So if it does go off, then we'll have to make something up or do a dance in the aisle. But we will ask God to be with us as we look at his word. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Bible and for the privilege of having your word. Thank you for your one true gift born amongst us. Be with us all now as we look at this passage and think about what it means for us to have this gift in our lives. Amen. Leadership training. I've been on a few leadership training courses and very grateful that I was sent on leadership training as opposed to management training. There are some subtle differences between leadership and management. And the first thing they teach you on leadership training courses is the importance of values and establishing your own values. And we spent half a day thinking about this, establishing what these might be as leaders and how we might use these in our daily lives. And this is because values give us an important framework and give us our aspirations. We heard last week when Rob spoke to us how the Bible teaches, it rebukes, it gives us training in righteousness, nourishes us, and gives us the strength to overcome temptation in our lives. And the Bible also shows us the values that Jesus lived by, which for us as Christians apply to us in all walks of life, whether they be for leadership at work, in the community, at home, in the neighborhood, everything that we could ever need, we can find amongst the pages of our Bibles. And our Christian values can be thought of as an expression of our new life in Jesus. They define who we are and aren't just principles to aspire to. They give us a framework within which to make decisions and a sense of proportion when things aren't going so well. And this morning, we're looking at three values in particular brought to us by this passage. The first one, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Second one, in humility, value others above yourselves. And three, don't focus on your own interests, but look to the interests of others. And I'll come back to these shortly, but first, some context. So we're on page 1179 of the Bibles at the start of chapter 2. Now, it's important for all of us, when we're reading the Bible, to understand the context of the passage or the book we're reading. So we're looking at Philippians, which is a letter from Paul, an apostle, that he sent to the Philippians. This is the name of a nation of people who lived in Philippi in Eastern Europe, a short trip across the sea for Paul from Asia. And these were a Gentile people, which means they did not follow the Jewish faith, unlike Paul, and therefore were different people to those that Paul was accustomed to meeting. And we know this by looking back at another book in the Bible, Acts, which contains some useful information about Paul's visit to Philippi. I don't want to go into lots of detail, but in a nutshell, chapter 16 of Acts tells us about Paul and his friend Silas as they journeyed to Philippi and started to gather the first followers of Jesus to form the early church. And the people they gather are quite an unlikely bunch. We meet a wealthy businesswoman who deals in rare cloth, a demon-possessed slave girl who was exploited and earned money through fortune-telling, and a tough Roman guard and his family. Wow, there was the first church. There was the first church plant. I felt good luck to Paul and Silas in terms of preparing a Bible study for such a varied group of people. But this is exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. Consider the needs of others, wherever they are at. Put others first. Invest in the lives of others, and generally look to the interests of other people. Plant new churches where and with whom you may not think is immediately obvious. And this is not about policing other people's lives, telling them how to conduct their lives. No one thanks you for that, which is probably the quickest way to put people off the message that we aim to convey. So what do I mean? Well, let's go back to the passage and have a look at what Paul's saying. So Paul's writing back to the followers of Jesus in the church plant in Philippi and describing the life that should characterize a church community. And as a church here in Rothley, we are also seeking to follow Jesus. So this is directly relevant to us as well. And the first word we read at the beginning of chapter 2 is therefore, which is a really useful, quite a powerful word, because it makes us stop and look back at what went before and what got us to this point in the text. And we don't have to look too far back. In chapter 1, verse 27, just above, where Paul talks about a worthy life. And he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, this is key. It is about how we live as a result of hearing God's word and of hearing the gospel. It's what our values should become as a result of hearing these words. So when we move on to chapter 2, we read, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. So, we have a wealthy woman, a demon-possessed girl, a Roman jailer, and his screaming kids. What should their values be? Well, how did Jesus behave? What were his values? Firstly, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. We've just sung, Jesus left the glory of heaven to share in our pain. From heaven you came, helpless babe. In humility, value others above yourselves. And this made me think about Jesus' relationship with children and reminded me of one of my favorite sections of the Bible, Mark chapter 10, where we read about people bringing children to Jesus and the disciples try to stop them. Don't bother him. He's far too important to meet with little children. And what does Jesus say? He was annoyed. He was indignant. He was very angry. No, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So he values others. And thirdly, don't focus on your own interests, but on the interests of others. And this is why God gave us Jesus. It's why Jesus was born, because God put our interests before his own. And these are good values to live by, aren't they? But we might think they're countercultural. They go against our natural inclination. Can often be very challenging. And they're likely to make us very likable, a very likable person at work or at school. And that's not a bad thing, is it? But the Bible doesn't teach us values just to be liked. Why does it teach us these values? Well, one clue is in the first verse that Wendy read in chapter 2, because we are encouraged by being united with Christ, because we take comfort from his love, and because we have a fellowship with the Spirit. So therefore, we want to behave like Jesus. But then there's a bit of a surprise in verse 2, where Paul says, make my joy complete. So Paul wants us to be like-minded, like Jesus, by sharing the joy and fruit that we have received as a result of having Jesus in our lives, and by sharing the word of God. And in a strange way, putting others first can lead to joy and lead to warmth in our hearts. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this. It's the joy of being like Jesus, albeit in a very small way. I want to tell you about a brief experience I had with a colleague at work last week. For the last 2 or 3 years, I've been reading Tim Chester's book, One True Light, which is the precursor to the book that Rob spoke about earlier on. For me, I think it's one of the best books of Christian encouragement I've ever read, partly because there's only 2 or 3 pages each day, which means it fits into my busy lifestyle. Last year, I bought an extra copy of this book, and I gave it to one of my colleagues, and I put a little note inside and said, read one chapter a day throughout Advent, and when you put your Christmas decorations away in January, put the book away somewhere safe, make a note in your diary so you know where to find it in Advent 2019. And last week I asked her, I said, do you still have that book I gave you? Because Advent's coming. And she said, oh yes, I know exactly where it is. I know exactly which shelf it's on. Do you want it back? No, I don't want it back. I just wanted to remind you that Advent was coming and it might be worth pulling it out again and having a look at it. And then there was a pause and she said, you wouldn't have known this at the time, Malcolm, but when you gave me that book last year, I was going through a very difficult time at home with my family. And this book made all the difference to getting me through that difficult time. Talking to this person about Jesus has become much easier for me now, because she's already had some experience of the life, the joy that can be had through knowing Jesus. So I found a way of sharing my joy with someone else, but little did I know, of course, what God was going to do with that. Wow. Big warm glow in my heart, I can tell you. But I hadn't policed her life. I hadn't suggested she go to church or made her feel inadequate in any way. I'd simply invested time and thought and prayer in her life. So to conclude, how should we respond to the passage we've read today? We are a church with people from many different backgrounds and experiences. God wants us to be united in mind, in spirit, and in purpose by sharing with others the new life that the gospel has brought to us. And in doing this, we seek the joy of being more like Jesus, the one true gift, who was born to set an example. And we might respond by following his example. We might go and do something for the benefit of someone else this week, for no other reason than to invest time in the life of someone else. Today's reading and my sermon are taken from another of Tim Chester's books, that one that Rob reminded us of this morning, The One True Gift, which I wholeheartedly recommend to you, of course. Today we've just looked at day one, and there's been enough nourishment, I hope, and teaching in these values to get us through family difficulties at home, challenges at work, tough times at school, and there's still another 24 days worth for us to go at. But I leave that for you to discover. Amen.